The first set of attitudes we're going to talk about is attitudes towards God. And we must have the right kind of love towards God. And Jesus defined that kind of love in Matthew 22:37. And he said to him, "You shall love your Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your mind." And do we love the Lord with all our heart, soul, and mind? If not, why? Jesus, we were commanded to, and not just because we were commanded, we should want to. God has shown that he loves us by sending his son down on here to die on that cross for the remission of our sins. We should want to return that love to him as he has asked us to. Another attitude towards God we need to have is faith and trust. And faith is a strong conviction and trust in things one does not see. In Hebrews 11:1, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Do we have that kind of faith that pleases God? We must have faith in God's word. We know that he will keep his promises. We must keep our promises to him as well. And that starts with having faith. Another attitude is that we are to have thankfulness attitude. And every Christian should be grateful. In Colossians 3:17, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." Also, in Ephesians 5:20, it says, "Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father." An attitude of thankfulness for the blessings we have will help with the bitterness that can destroy any congregation. If our relationship with God is right, it increases the likelihood that our relationship with others will be smooth as well. In Proverbs 16:7, it says, "When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him." And what also helps are the proper attitudes towards ourselves. One attitude we need to have towards ourselves is humility. In Romans 12:3, For though the grace is given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Also in Romans 12:16, it says, "Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation." A humble attitude of oneself is very important. And humility includes a willingness to serve, even to do the small task. In John 13:6-17, it says, "So he came to Simon Peter. He said to him, 'Lord, do you wash my feet?' Jesus answered and said to him, 'What I do, you do not realize now, but you will understand hereafter.' Peter said to him, 'Never shall you wash my feet.' And Jesus answered him, 'If I do not wash you, you have no part with me.' Simon Peter said to him, 'Lord, then wash not only my feet, but also my hands and my head.' Jesus said to him, 'He who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you.' For he knew the one who was betraying him. For this reason, he said, 'Not all of you are clean.' So when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, 'Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." In these verses, Jesus washed our feet. He gave us an example that we should not be above doing even the small things that will help others. A quote by Lawrence D. Bell that I found is, "Show me a man who cannot bother to do the little things, and I will show you a man who cannot be trusted to do the big things." And in Matthew 25:21, it says, "His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.'" We always need to be willing to do the small things, no matter how small we think they are. Because if we do the small things, we're going to be entrusted to do more things in God's kingdom. And are we humble enough to serve others as we should? Another attitude that we need to have is we need to be teachable. And to be teachable is to be wise. In Proverbs 15:31-32, "He whose ear listens to the life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. He who neglects discipline despises himself, but he who listens to reproof acquires understanding." Being teachable includes an eagerness to learn and grow, the ability to learn from correction, to profit from advice and criticism. And being teachable doesn't only apply to the young people of the congregation. The old as well as the young need to have a teachable attitude. There's always things that we can learn from others. And so how teachable are we when it comes to studying God's Word? We also need to have honesty towards our mistakes. And this includes a willingness to admit our mistakes. In James 5:16. "Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much." And we also need to have a willingness to correct them. Everyone makes mistakes. A congregation that functions well and grows is one filled with people who have learned from their mistakes. And the attitudes of humility, being teachable, and honesty will certainly prepare us to be useful to the Lord. They will also have a bearing on our relationship with others in the congregation. The next set of attitudes I want to talk about is others, is toward our brothers and sisters in Christ. And Jesus taught us the necessity of loving our brethren. In John 13:34-35, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And we have been born again, that we might love one another fervently. In 1 Peter 1:22-23, "Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and enduring word of God." If we truly love one another, how can we not work together? Another attitude is we need to have cooperation with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And this involves a willingness to work together as God intended in 1 Corinthians 12:21. "And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' or again to the head, 'to the feet, I have no need of you.'" We need to be able not only to work, but to work together. Where there is cooperation, we will be more productive at doing things within the church than if there was no cooperation. We also need to have appreciation for others and their work. We need to appreciate what others are doing. In 1 Thessalonians 5:12-13, "But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another." True appreciation for others will eliminate destructive criticism, gossip, and divisiveness. And when we express our appreciation to others, it will make them continue to do their work much better. You know, everybody likes to be appreciated. Everybody wants to be appreciated. And when you feel appreciated, you're going to want to go out and do more. You want to do what you're already doing better. Another attitude we need to have is the attitude of submissiveness. And we are to submit to one another in Ephesians 5:21, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. We're also to submit to those in positions of leadership, such as our elders here at this congregation. In Hebrews 13:17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. We are also supposed to have an attitude of peace. And peace among brethren is something that we should pursue in Romans 14:19. So then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. It is part of walking worthy to our calling. Ephesians 4:1-3. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The true children of God are those who are peacemakers and sow their seeds of righteousness in the atmosphere of peace. In Matthew 5:9, it says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Also in James 3:17-18, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Another attitude towards our brothers and sisters in Christ is that we are to be hospitable. And in Romans 12:13, it says, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. This also includes both hospitality to strangers as well as to our brethren. In Hebrews 13:2, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. Also, in 1 Peter 4:9, be hospitable to one another without complaint. We need to have an attitude of gentleness and meekness as well. This attitude is especially necessary when dealing with the spiritually weak. In Galatians 6:1. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. We also need to have an attitude of gentleness and meekness towards those who oppose us. In 2 Timothy 2:24-26, the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. We are to have a forgiveness, patience, and long-suffering. And all of these attitudes overlap and are very important. In Ephesians 4:2, it says, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. Also in Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. These attitudes will help smooth out the bumps and obstacles that Satan will put in our way in his effort to destroy the local church. Another set of attitudes that I want to talk about today is our attitude towards our work. And we have an example. Paul is an example of us towards our work, and he certainly possessed this attitude of gratitude for the privilege of our work. And he expressed it in 1 Timothy 1:12, that I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service. also in 1 Corinthians 15:9 and 10. For I am the least of the apostles and not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me did not prove vain. But I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. And do we appreciate what an honor it is to offer our service to the Lord? Another attitude is diligence and energy. Like those in Nehemiah's day, we need to have a mind to work. In Nehemiah 4:6, so we built the wall and the whole wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. If we are to serve men heartily, how much more should we do for the Lord? In Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord rather than for men. Also, the slackful person is just as harmful as the destructive person. In Proverbs 18:9, it says, He also who is slack in his work is brother to him who destroys. We need to take initiative as well. When we take initiative, we are willing to do what is right without being told to do it. We should not have to be reminded constantly of our responsibilities. And when you see something that needs to be done, we need to take the initiative to do it rather than waiting on somebody else to do it or somebody else to tell us to do it. We also need to have a positive attitude. We are to do things without grumbling and disputing. Philippians 2:14, do all things without grumbling or disputing. The person who complains all the time and someone who is always negative are obstructions to the work of the congregation. You know, nobody likes to be around somebody that's going to complain all the time, that's going to have a negative attitude. And a lot of that can be contagious if you are around them a lot, and that could be harmful to the congregation. And we are to be persistent. We do not need to be sluggish. We need to be imitators of those who through patience and faith will inherit God's promises. In Hebrews 6:12, it says, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who, through faith and patience, will inherit the promises. If we are persistent, then at the end of our journey, we can say, as Paul has said in 2 Timothy 4:7, that we have fought the good fight, that we have finished the race, and that we have kept the faith. Ideal attitudes make for ideal working conditions among members of the local church. Attitude improvement can be compared to a woodcutter sharpening his axe. In Ecclesiastes 10:10, it says, if the axe is dull and he does not sharpen its edge, then he must exert more strength. Wisdom has the advantage of giving success. We always need to be working on our attitudes. There is room for improvement for all of us. If we want the work of the congregation to go smooth, then we need to improve our attitudes. Certainly, the attitudes that have been described will help the cause of Christ in any congregation. They will improve our relationship with God, ourselves, our brethren, and our work. They will make useful, they will make us useful to the Master, prepared for every good work. In 2 Timothy 2:21, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified, useful to the Master, prepared for every good work. Are we developing the right kind of attitudes that prepare us for the work of the Lord? If you are not a Christian at this time, one of the attitudes that you need to have faith in God's word that he has laid out for each and every one of us, and that is to follow his word and become a child of God. And he has laid out for that for us in the Bible, the plan of salvation, the steps we need to take. And the first step is we are to hear the word in Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Then we are to believe in Mark 16:16. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. Then we are to repent. Luke 13:3. I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. than we are to confess, Romans 10:9-10, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Then we must be baptized, we must be immersed into water. In Acts 2:38, Peter said to them, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But it doesn't end there. We must remain faithful. In Revelations 2:10, it says, do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you will be tested, and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Maybe you are a Christian. Maybe you have fallen back into the world. Now is the time to get your life right back. Get your life back right with God. We're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised 30 minutes from now. But we do have right now to make our lives right with God. Won't you come together as we stand and sing?